This is Chris Sorochin. Open your wallets so we can open our mouths. 632-6901 or WUSB.FM.
And that's right. It's Giving Tuesday, so please give what you can. WUSB.FM/pledge is the URL. It is 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. Time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Set. Oh, sorry, that wasn't supposed to go out. Let's start again. Good evening. It's another Tuesday evening. Time for Off the Wall. This is Emmanuel over here and Kyle over there.
Here and there.
Yeah, I just got to calm down. I was kinda running around like crazy today for some reason.
But now everywhere.
What, I'm running around everywhere? What?
Well, we're here, there, and now everywhere. on 90.1.
I think we're everywhere on 90.1.
Well, like in the air, you know, like the air waves themselves are sort of all over.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
What's that going to do to the environment? Huh. And 107.3 as well, two frequencies.
It's going to keep people's eardrums reverberating.
All right. Well, okay, that's something else to worry about. You know, I was plenty worried last night. You were aware my phone kept going off with EAS alerts. And this might have happened to a bunch of you in this area, in the Suffolk County, Long Island, New York area. this is what the message actually read. And tell me if you can make anything out of it. First of all, you got the flashing red triangle alert. All right, that's supposed to make you panic.
Hazard, yeah.
And then it said public safety message. Suffolk County, New York, spelled Suffolk, CTYNY. Wireless callers with an issue dialing 911, call 631-852-COPS-2677 in parentheses, follow prompts. And then there is an okay button to hit. I had no idea what that meant. Basically, and this happened twice. It just kept saying, wireless callers, when they should dial 911, call this phone number. The thing is, what's the phone number I just gave?
Something COPS 77.
You have to call the number, Kyle. You have to remember the number.
7277.
Right, what was the first number I gave? The number that, if you have trouble calling. You can't even remember 911. Okay. So, the second number is really hard to remember. So, here's the thing. The only button you can hit at that point is OK. And as soon as you hit OK, that message vanished. So you didn't have the phone number anymore. So right after that, there was a message on the phone that said, you are currently receiving wireless emergency alerts. Would you like to continue receiving wireless emergency alerts? I don't know if I want to continue receiving cryptic messages like that. But I answered yes, because I figured that was the responsible thing to do. Not 20 minutes later, the same thing happened again. Another EAS alert. Wireless callers with an issue. It didn't make any sense. I didn't understand what was going on. Why am I being told I should call 911 or this other number? Didn't make any sense. What it turned out was happening was the 911 system in Suffolk County was down for some reason. It just wasn't working. And this was their clumsy way of trying to tell me that if I needed to call the cops, here's a different number to call. Okay, you know, I understand the motives are pure here, but the delivery is terrible. Because what you're doing is you're sending EAS alerts to everybody, making them panic, thinking there's some kind of emergency. And then you're giving them a message that supposedly has a phone number that gets wiped away as soon as you admit that you read the message. Maybe English, you know, say we're experiencing trouble with our 911 system. And if you're trying to reach 911, write down this number before hitting OK. That's what I would have said. I don't know why they couldn't say that. I had no idea what they were trying to convey. It was hugely annoying. I was, you know, looking out the window for signs of disasters and didn't find any and got really, really frustrated. Officially, though, more than a dozen hours after disruptions to the 911 emergency call reporting system first began, Suffolk County Police and several other Suffolk police agencies. How many other Suffolk police agencies are there? I'd like to know. I want a list. I want to know how many. I thought it was just Suffolk County Police. I mean, I know there's a sheriff, whatever that is, and there's town police and local police, but I don't know. Service was finally restored late Tuesday morning. Suffolk Police first acknowledged the issue at about 6 p.m. Monday, saying the disruptions appeared intermittent and asking anyone with issues to call 631-852-COPS, which I guess is the number you're supposed to remember.
Well, I hope they have the receipt for their 911 system, just in case.
How does it go down? How does it just stop working? It's a phone. It's a phone number. It's a phone system. I mean, I know complex ones go down, but 911, you really should be more careful.
It's the one system you think is, like, really resilient, but maybe that'll be on their wish list.
Well, Verizon was to blame, apparently. They said a network issue impacted some 911 services this morning. Actually, it was last night, Verizon, so get the facts straight, involving the Riverhead Police Department. Oh, I guess these are the Suffolk County Police Departments that I was asking about. Southampton Town Police Department and East Hampton Village Police Department. The issue has been quickly resolved, and all services have been restored. Quickly resolved? More than a dozen hours after it started, it was resolved? That's quickly for Verizon? That's quick. Okay, well, next time you're waiting on Verizon for something, understand that 12 hours to them is quick. So don't complain if that takes them 12 hours to do something. Wow.
Absolutely complain. Don't listen to that. You should complain.
The cause of the issue was not immediately clear. And it also was not clear how many potential customers or how many potential 911 callers, yes, weird to refer to 911 callers as customers, had been affected by the outages. Riverhead Town Police reported intermittent issues by users attempting to access their 911 reporting system Monday night, but in a late morning email, Tuesday said that all 911 phone systems are operating properly in the town. Officials stressed that if callers did experience subsequent issues, they should call. Do you remember now?
9-1-1-2.
Okay, you got 911. No, 631-852 cops, right? Was that it?
852 cops.
Yeah, except that was a trick question because, no, if you're in Riverhead, you're supposed to call 631-727-4500.
727-4500.
So you're still wrong, all right? Suffolk outage is not the first time the 911 system has let down the public. Yeah, I'm very disappointed in 911. I really am. The Federal Communications Commission has reported numerous 911 service outages in the past decade, including one in 2014 related to a preventable coding error that caused a disruption across seven states. One in 2018 that led to a 65-minute disruption across six states, and a 2020 technological issue that led to 14 states. I'm not listing them. All losing 911 service. And just last summer, the Nebraska Public Service Commission reported that agencies in Nebraska lost 911 service when two fiber cables were cut. Why would it only affect 911? Wouldn't it affect all phone calls? It just seems kind of weird. Yeah, in case you're curious, there are about 600,000 emergency calls placed daily in the nation. Suffolk police have no idea how many they get. Oh, it doesn't say it like that, but it kind of does. Suffolk police did not immediately have an estimate on their daily number of calls. How do you not know that? I mean, did anybody ever ask before and somebody wrote down the answer? You could just answer the question and not appear to be stupid.
Or just have like an estimate. It doesn't have to be broken down and categorized in different columns and fields. And something you can just tell people when they're inquiring.
Yeah.
Just to get a sense of the capacity and, wow, you know, it's not the type of system that when you have to take it for a test ride, you find out it doesn't work or you have to learn these other numbers. You can see how easy it was for me to learn the numbers. So
I just don't know when making phone calls got to be so complicated. You know, when I was a kid, not to keep saying that, you made a phone call, it went through. Sure, you didn't have all these technologically sophisticated systems, but it worked, you know, for the basics. And I think it's that cutting the cord with the old way of doing things that dooms us to all these system failures. System fails, you should have another system that kicks in. And if you don't have that, you're doing it wrong. Sorry, but that's how it is. All right, I guess corruption and incompetence are going to be the theme this evening. But before we get into that, it's really, really important that people recognize today as Giving Tuesday. I don't know where that got started, but that's what it is. Look on the calendar, Giving Tuesday. We are asking you to support WUSB. The best way, the quickest way, the fastest, easiest way is to go to the website, WUSB.fm, and click on the big donate button. And you can go to WUSB.fm/pledge, I believe. I think that also works. But WUSB.fm is the website. And please, pledge as much as you can to help support WUSB. We've been through a lot over the past few years. We've been through COVID. We've been through a transmitter blowing up. We've been through all kinds of sarcastic remarks made at our expense. And Yeah, and a lot of new music, too, that we're trying desperately to catch up with. It's rough. It's rough at a radio station. You know, you have all kinds of things going on, but we struggle through it all, and we do it for you, and we include our listeners as much as we possibly can. And we try to provide you with alternatives of all sorts, whether it's Democracy Now!, whether it's this program, whether it's all kinds of musical programs that play songs you've probably never heard before but fall in love with. It's something we do out of passion and insanity, and we just keep the place running. And we ask for financial support so we can continue to keep the place running, because nobody gets paid to be on the radio here. And that's a good thing. I think that keeps us pure. We have no commercials, so we have no income from that. And that's a good thing as well, because if we did, we wouldn't be able to say things like, boy, Verizon sucks. They're incompetent idiots. You know, I couldn't say that if Verizon was a sponsor. Do I mean that? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say. People who know me probably know what I mean and what I don't mean. But that's the thing with radio. You know, you can paint a picture, and then you can rip up that picture and paint a different picture. And then somebody else comes in and makes more pictures.
And come back to that picture once more. The thing with that is it's ever-changing here. It's mm-hmm. dynamic. It doesn't cease to transform and reform so many different parts of the way it's run, and the contributors, the listeners themselves. The driving forces here are freeform. They're a little different than what you're going to get, what you're going to pay for elsewhere, with whether that's through watching ads or other forms of monthly costs. We do have a similar program here. Mm-hmm. If you want to contribute monthly at a regular interval, that helps us a great deal operationally, so that we can count on those pledges as a baseline to judge perhaps the length or the funding goals for any one of our regular fund drives. We try to keep it different and introduce our traditions. You know, some of the classic marathons we've done are really fun. Some of them are seasonal. Every time we come at you with something that just reminds you the dedication. And we get to talk about why this place matters to us alongside asking for your pledge. So hop on over wusb.fm/pledge.
That's what I'm told, but wusb.fm definitely.
There's a way to navigate and more information on the site. And as always, we'll continue to come at you with interesting stories and conversation.
And here's someone coming at us right now.
They say the talk is cheap. We put the lie to that. It costs money to hear the different thinking that you'll find here midday. So let your money talk for you. Credit cards, too. 631-632-6901 or wusb.fm/pledge.
All right. Thank you, Bill McDuffley, for that. And that verifies it. Yes, slash pledge. And please do that now. It's Giving Tuesday, and if it applies, say that Off the Wall is your favorite show, or one of your favorite shows, or a show that you listen to, or a show that you're aware of. You know what? Just say whatever it is that you feel you need to say. It's important.
Give a damn. Give two dams. Give all you can, and come back and listen. We're here with you on Tuesday nights, and we listen to the station just as much, and we're always excited to hear new stuff. And
now,
wow.
Getting back into subject matter here on this week's show, this is a pamphlet that somebody gave to you that apparently is being handed out by oil companies throughout New York. This is not one particular oil company. This is a brochure. It's a sheet of paper, two-sided sheet of paper. Called Energy Matters in New York. Apparently, when you get an oil delivery at your home, you'll get this little piece of paper. And it's supposed to rile you up. It's supposed to get you to do something of one political side over another. Hang on, my computer is trying to restart without my permission. Sorry. So this is something that the oil companies want you to take notice of. I'm going to read a little bit of it. Maybe we can discuss this. Update on New York's dangerous climate action plans. Lawmakers in Albany and New York City are implementing plans that will force you to change how you heat your home, fuel your car, cook your food, and much more. These plans will cost New Yorkers thousands of dollars in expensive home conversions and inflated energy prices. If that's not bad enough, they could also make New York's electric power supply dangerously unreliable. Yeah, we don't have a BS meter here. That's something I wish we hadn't gotten rid of, but if we still had it, I think it would break. Because all these claims are preposterous. I mean, who is forcing people to change the way they heat their homes? Who is doing that? And fuel your car? Well, last I saw, fuel is still plentiful. In fact, it's much cheaper than it was a year ago. So what gives with that? Cook your food? No one's ever told me how to cook my food. And you know what? I would have appreciated it if they did. That could have saved me a lot of time, you know, in the bathroom. But whatever, that's my personal problem.
The gas stove thing?
I don't know what it is.
But who prefers food to have gas stove in it? I mean, it seems like the method is less relevant to the food.
Dangerous
part
climate action plan. Look, first of all, a climate action plan by definition is not dangerous. It's essential. All right. Look around you. Look at what's happening. Look at the weather events, look at the overall global temperature, look at what's happening to the ice caps. It's a crisis. It's an emergency. All right, so you better be damn sure what you're talking about if you're going to call a climate action plan dangerous, because the alternative to a climate action plan, that is catastrophic. All right, let's continue reading from the oil companies here. Right goal, wrong path. Well, I'm glad at least they admit the goal is right. They just probably have no idea how to get there. We strongly support action to reduce emissions and combat the harmful effects of climate change. That's why we fought for regulations requiring a more renewable version of our heating fuel called BioHeat, registered trademark, fuel. But Albany and New York City are going far beyond what New York families and businesses want or can afford. In their desire to lead the nation, in quotes, they are embracing the most extreme, expensive, and disruptive strategies. Here is what you can expect if New York's current climate action plan, which they also put in quotes, is fully implemented. And I'll ask you for comment on these items, Kyle. They've already banned all traditional heating fuels, including heating oil, propane gas, and natural gas, from new buildings. Okay, so right away, I'm sorry, I'm commenting, but right away, what they said at the top, saying how lawmakers are demanding that we change how we heat our homes, only homes that don't exist at the moment are homes that will have new ways of heating. And that seems like it makes sense. If something is new, why not equip it with the newest, most modern and efficient ways of doing things? Now, who would not benefit from that? The old oil companies won't benefit from that because their services are not required for these new buildings. That just seems to make sense. That sounds like capitalism in action.
Yeah. They have this sense of entitlement that any new construction must be available to them just by sort of their right to provide things that the state has deemed long-term are not in the interests of the public, and they're setting these mandates in ways they can, like through building guidelines and so on.
So if I have an old house that has oil or gas heating it, is somebody going to come, you know, with a gun and tell me I have to change right now to the new efficient system? No, but that's what they're making it sound like. I can keep using oil or gas as long as oil or gas exists. The price might go up because that's what happens with oil and gas. But if I'm building a brand new house, then there's brand new regulations for brand new houses. There's nothing new about that. That's always been the case. You know, used to be you could bury oil tanks. You can't do that anymore. New houses, they have to be above the ground because they would tend to leak underground and cause all kinds of pollution, and the drinking water would suffer as a result. So, you know, it's necessary. As we learn more, we improve, we modernize. This is, you know, okay. So item number one, I think we can throw out just based on that. You know, it's applies to new houses. Okay, the plan next calls for banning of replacement equipment in existing buildings, including homes like yours. So you would be forced to convert your home to all electric. Yeah, I'm not sure how accurate that is because I did some perusing of oil companies online. They're all selling furnaces. Who are they selling furnaces to? Just people sitting in parking lots? No, they're selling replacement furnaces for people whose furnaces have died and they need new ones. So this just seems to be a complete fib. there's nobody telling you you can't replace your furnace with another furnace.
I think that's also an allusion to the kitchen appliances, but it's murky because it seems like it's some of the more core things like heating.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, decisions are reached that furnaces are being phased out, that's economics. That's going to happen.
Like maybe for remodels or restorations,
mm-hmm.
they might have guidelines for ceasing the use of older stuff and how to retrofit and introduce newer technologies in older construction. But there's probably more programs and help for that than just sort of, oh, we're going to prevent you from doing any kind of construction.
We know somebody actually who fairly recently, within the last year, converted their oil-fired water heater. Tell me if I get this wrong. Oil-fired water heater to something called a tankless water heater. What that is, it's electric. And it just basically heats the water that you need, and there's no tank. You're not constantly heating water with oil-fired water tank. But I believe the way I think it works is it's constantly turning on and keeping water hot, so that when you ask for hot water, it's there. But with a tankless version, it only turns on when you ask for hot water, and it gets the water hot right away. The oil company basically was trying to convince them they were going to spend a fortune if they did not buy a brand new. First of all, the water heater had broken, so they had to make a decision. They were going to pay a fortune if they didn't just buy a new water heater from the oil company, and tried to scare them into not doing that. They went with the tankless system. They have saved so much money as a result of that, because they're not paying to constantly heat water they're not using. And the amount of electricity that the tankless system is using is fairly negligible, because it only gets turned on when they're actually using hot water. So, wow, oil companies will definitely put the pressure on you.
Yeah, and that thing of basically being envious almost of the market share that electric appliances have, like you're going to have a kerosene-powered coffee grinder or mm-hmm. something. I mean, this idea that forcing you to become electric, as though electricity is unreliable, is also this attitude of barring technologies that are alternatives, the very thing they're claiming that they're being barred from in the future. They want to eliminate the options of having alternatives to their systems that have typically been charge of things like heat and water.
Isn't
that
the case in Texas where you have to pay a penalty if you don't use an oil company? I might be wrong about this. I just heard this in passing. But Texas is so corrupt, from what I've heard, that if you have a wind turbine or you use solar power, there's actually a penalty involved because you're not using the oil companies. I'll check that to make sure that's true. It sounds so crazy, but, you know, every time I find something crazy, I find that it actually is true. So this might be something else. Okay, third point. We have to move a little faster because it's the BS detector is just...
we think it's about to fall off the desk.
We don't have it, but our personal ones are overloaded here. Okay, if you have to convert your home to all electric, it could run upwards of $20,000 to $40,000. Okay, so this is how they scare people by showing them numbers, which are completely fictitious, because what exactly are you talking about here? Convert your home to all electric. Okay, well, if you have to do anything to your home, it's going to cost money, but who is converting their home to all electric? Nobody's being forced to do that. If I have an all-electric home and I convert it to all oil, what's that going to cost? I'm sure that's going to cost something, too. So it's very easy to scare people by saying, if you have to do this, it's going to cost you that. How much would you save? That's another question. Oil prices are volatile. You have no idea. But again, not being forced on people.
Yeah, and what does that cost? Is it multiple different smaller things that you decide, or one large cost? Is it the installation of some sort of energy storage or generation technology like solar panels? Because that's talked about at length, about the costs or the credits or the years it takes to pay for itself, or how you can generate revenue by contributing to the grid and all of those details. But that's just one hypothetical. There's all different ways you could spend that amount of money, but making it sound like it's a requirement that you'll have to face to totally change your life, just, I don't know, it adds this sort of scariness that isn't real.
Point number four, a new type of energy tax called Cap and Invest is being developed that will make all heating fuels and gasoline significantly more expensive. More information on the other side. I don't really have time to go through all of this, but they say get ready for New York's high energy prices to climb even higher. Okay, first of all, fuel here is cheaper than it is in many other parts of the country, so saying that New York has high energy prices kind of misleading in and of itself. Do we have high cost of living? Yes, but it's not solely because of energy prices at all. Anyway, this time the cause won't be a global conflict or pandemic. It's effectively a new tax called Cap and Invest. Billed as a tax on polluters, this funding scheme for Albany's electrification plans forces the businesses that supply your heating fuel, electricity, and gasoline to buy allowances. This, of course, will be passed along to consumers in the form of higher prices for every gallon of gasoline, heating oil, or propane. Every therm of natural gas, didn't know that was a word, and every kilowatt hour of electricity. It sounds like you guys are the polluters, and you're passing along the penalty that you're paying to us, the consumers. That's what it sounds like you just confessed to there. Why shouldn't polluters be paying more for polluting? It sounds like a wise idea to me. Maybe figure out a way to not do that, and then you won't have to complain so much. Okay, unless changes are made, the state's own models forecast that Cap and Invest will likely increase gasoline costs by 62 cents per gallon. Random figure that they pulled out themselves and that they're responsible for because they're the ones raising the price. Natural gas rates will go up by nearly 80%. This just goes on and on with scare tactics. Final point. They are spending billions of dollars to shift electricity generation and distribution to risky renewable sources at an unprecedented scale and pace. Okay, you know, these risky renewable sources have been in place around the world for many years and have brought prices down and, most importantly, have stopped polluting the air. And that is what we need to do. That is the goal. Are gas prices going to go up? Maybe, you know, if they do, well, so be it. You know, most of the world pays much, much more than we do for gas. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, why are we paying so little and why are we the leader in pollution? These things are wrong. There's all kinds of scare tactics here. Electrification puts New York families at risk. What do we say about wind and solar here? Lawmakers are abandoning natural gas and oil, currently accounting for over half of the state's energy production, in favor of untested renewable sources that have yet to come online. Today, wind and solar generate only about 6% of our power. Yes, because of people like you that are standing in the way of it. There are countries where it's the majority of energy production, and it's working great. And if you just get out of the way, it could be working great here as well. So I fully, fully support anything that gets the dinosaurs to move aside and let us save the planet. And no, nobody wants to bankrupt anybody. Nobody wants to make anyone's life, you know, unlivable or impossible. But this kind of scare tactic sure doesn't help.
Yeah, I would just say, like, get with the times and adapt. I would not want to be towing this kind of line. There's a huge market for oil heat on Long Island and oil in general. So I don't understand why people have to be confronted with mistruths about choices they're going to make or not make as a homeowner and in a market that is quickly adapting and where costs for some of these things are making these older, more polluting technologies just wholly undesirable, and especially when municipalities and the state and city townships and so on, when they can step up and make decisions that they want buses that don't have emissions, you know, in public school systems or and the kinds of heavy equipment and all that stuff in the transportation sector, to say nothing of stuff that's stationary for heating. But it's got to be something that everybody's a part of and adapting to, and not making up stuff to thwart it, because it's been that way for 30 years and prevented and delayed a lot of this mm-hmm. from already being in place.
You know, I mentioned how I believe the thing in Texas, because where you pay a penalty for not using oil, because crazy things turn out to be true more than they're not, apparently. Here's an example of this from yesterday from Tennessee. Reports of a man carrying an assault-style rifle on Midtown sidewalks in Memphis yesterday caused concern among neighbors. There's a photo circulating on social media platforms showing the unidentified man holding what appears to be a large firearm while walking on Peabody near Cooper. We all know where that is. The news sent a nearby preschool and elementary school into lockdown. Memphis police had a heavy presence near Grace St. Luke's Episcopal School at Peabody and Belvedere. We all know where that is, too. Police checked out the reports, said there was no threat, no arrest was made. Man's not accused of any crime making threats. Apparently, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to walk down the street with a loaded gun, assault-style rifle. And in Tennessee, yeah, no problem. The school's going to go into lockdown. So, okay, here's my question here. A school goes into lockdown because there's a threat. But if this is the kind of behavior that's allowed, in fact, even encouraged, then there's no threat. So somebody is lying to those kids. And I think if I was a parent of a kid at that school, I could sue everybody, the school, the city, for making my kid go into lockdown mode when there's just a guy walking down the street with an assault-style rifle, and that's something that we should be proud of. All right, you know, somebody, these are conflicting values here. So either you go into lockdown or you encourage everybody to walk around with guns. Now, this is insane. This is crazy. The whole world is looking at this, saying, what is wrong with Americans? In no sense should this be normal behavior, but for some reason, we allow it. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. This time, it was just an innocent guy, for some reason, walking around with a huge assault rifle.
Not innocent. Inconsiderate. I mean, the thought that you could cause that kind of disruption and be sort of taken aback that people are upset at you for it and all defensive about your perceived rights.
I don't think they talked to him. I don't think anybody talked to him. I think it's just a guy walking around with a gun, and nobody even knows who he is. He's just the man with the gun in Memphis.
Wow.
Or, no, the man with the gun. Everybody's got a gun in Memphis. I don't know. All right. We have another announcement.
This is Christina. WUSB broadcasts a diverse and eclectic program schedule 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I know because I'm not only a volunteer here, but also a listener. I have been turned on to so many new artists that I would have never heard of had it not been for WUSB. Can you say the same? If so, give us a call at 632-6901 and show us that you appreciate what we do. Think of all the new music that you may never have heard had it not been for WUSB. We hope that is worth something to you. Please do help us during our fund drive by calling 631-632-6901 or 1-800-394-WUSB. You can also pledge at our website at www.wusb.fm. Your help means a lot to us. Thank you.
And thank you, Christina. Boy, you know, she hasn't been here in years, but the announcement still lives on. And, boy, you know, she brought some amazing music to this station at the All Ages show years ago. And we have so many shows that are currently on that do similar things with all sorts of styles of music. And please show your support for that kind of thing. WUSB.FM, quickest way to do it.
Yeah, if you listen closely, especially with music programs and student stuff and just community happenings, you're listening to windows into all the different things that are going on in the community and on campus. So please stay tuned.
Now, we talked about this last week, the Montaukett Indian Nation. Basically, everybody in the state legislature, everybody in the state senate voted to have them recognized in the state as a legitimate tribe. Basically, the governor vetoed it. Kathy Hochul vetoed the legislation. It's been vetoed pretty much every year, not only by Hochul, but by Cuomo before her. And we called on, at least I asked the question, why isn't it overridden if it's unanimous? And now I see that there's a new story about this. Leaders of the Montaukett Indian Nation are calling for the state legislature to override Governor Kathy Hochul's recent veto of the tribe's state recognition bill while criticizing the governor for citing a racist court ruling in her veto message. That was from well over 100 years ago, basically saying that the blood of the Montaukett tribe was diluted because they mixed with African Americans, and therefore they don't exist anymore. That's basically the gist of it. It's disgusting. Calling Hochul's veto a cruel act, the tribe said it is calling on the New York General Assembly's leadership to do the right thing and override Governor Hochul's veto. Assemblyman Fred Thiel, Democrat of Sag Harbor, who has sponsored the Montaukett legislation in each of its five vetoed iterations, said he plans to discuss the prospect of an override with the Assembly Speaker and the Democratic Conference early next month. Okay, so now we know it's possible. We know it's possible to override a veto. Because literally, I thought maybe it's not possible because nobody ever brings this up. So now that we know it's possible, why do we have to discuss it? You voted unanimously for it. It's a no-brainer. All right, if the governor vetoes it, override the veto. Why would you not do that? I suspect there is something more at play here. I don't get it. I don't understand what it is. But something with that amount of popularity in government, I imagine is something that the elected officials want. So why aren't they pursuing it? Somebody, please, let me know the reason. OTW@2600.com. I'd love to know what is at play here. This should have been overridden the first four times this happened. This is the fifth time, so let's get it right.
My reaction was that this was giving cover somehow, that they would come back to it, or that this is giving the legislature cover, or vice versa, that them overriding would give the governor some kind of cover. But I don't understand the machinations that well, or if they're thinking at that kind of level, which is itself is beside the point. Like this, on its merits, I think, is something worth their attention alone.
Yeah. Well, it's disturbing, and it's something that I hope gets resolved quickly, because it's an embarrassment. It really is. Now, I got a weird tweet today. It wasn't by anybody I follow. It was from the State of Israel. Yeah. The country of Israel basically tweeted out something, and it was an ad, and it got pushed to my timeline. And basically, it's so inappropriate. It's showing a picture of two women, all right, one Israeli, one Palestinian. And basically, it says this: there is no equivalence in bold. How did they get bold on Twitter? I don't know how to do that. I'd like to know how to do that. I'm sorry. There is no equivalence. One is a 13-year-old girl kidnapped from her home. The other, a terrorist who attempted to murder Israelis. Okay. Israel, you're in the middle of a ceasefire right now. And this is a great thing. This is what people have been pushing for weeks. Right now, there is a ceasefire. Gaza is not being obliterated, and Israeli hostages are being returned. This is a good thing. And yes, Palestinian prisoners are also being returned. Many of them held on questionable charges. All right. Now, in this particular case, the woman in question, her name is Isra Gabas. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Palestinian woman spent 8 years in an Israeli prison from 2015 to 2023. Israeli authorities claim that she detonated a car bomb in 2015, causing serious injuries to herself and a police officer. According to Israeli police, she planned to detonate a gas tank near a soldier's hitchhiking station, and she allegedly shouted Allahu Akbar before triggering the explosion. Now, again, according to Israeli police, anytime I hear according to any fill-in-the-blank police, I take that with a pillar of salt, because police do lie quite a bit to get the convictions that they want. This is just a fact. This is nothing unique to Israel. This is nothing unique to any part of the world. So when I see the police are the only witnesses here, when I see that there's other versions of the story that are just not being told, it makes me suspect maybe there's more to the story. For instance, reading on about what happened there, Al Arabiya, for instance, a news source, which you might think is legitimate or not, but they are a news source. They presented an alternative version, claiming the car fire originated from an engine failure, and Jabez was unable to leave the vehicle due to restrictions. Restrictions, not being able to leave your vehicle. That we know is true. People are not allowed to do certain things in that part of the world if they are of a particular nationality. And Palestinians are under all kinds of crazy restrictions that we would find absolutely abhorrent. A lot of the people being released right now are kids accused of terrorism. Why? Because they threw stones at occupying tanks. Throwing stones at tanks is not terrorism. I consider that an obligation, to be honest. An occupying tank in your neighborhood? Yeah, throw a damn stone at that thing. I mean, who's getting hurt? There are other instances, obviously, that are different, where people did get hurt, and obviously the penalties should be in keeping with the crime. But to basically just point to this person, by the way, her face is all burned, and she suffered serious facial burns when the car went up. For whatever reason, the car went up. She was denied facial surgery for necessary reconstruction by Israeli prison authorities. Okay, you know, this woman's been in prison for 8 years. The circumstances are questionable at best, and her face is burned for the rest of her life. Maybe that's enough suffering for her. Maybe that's not a reason to put her front and center on the official Israeli Twitter account. And maybe, you know, while we're in a situation where nobody is killing anybody, at least we hope not, maybe not be so provocative in the statements. Let's get more people released before going back to the hatred. I don't know. Just my naive thoughts here on better ways this could be handled. Moving over to Ireland, my God. What happened in Ireland last week was such shameful behavior. There's this guy who was engaged in a mass stabbing. Three kids were stabbed, along with, I believe, an adult. And that wasn't the end of it. Basically, a massive mob gathered and started burning buses and buildings and all kinds of other things because they heard that the perpetrator was an immigrant. And apparently that's enough. That's enough to basically burn down the city and go looting and all sorts of things like that because, wow, how dare this this immigrant do something heinous? No questions were asked as to what the nationalities were of the kids. No. The fact that, or it hasn't even been confirmed what the nationality is. I think it's irrelevant. Humans are humans. It doesn't matter where they come from. You treat them based on their decisions, their actions. But here's an interesting postscript to the story. In the wake of that knife attack that sparked Ireland's worst anti-immigrant violence in recent memory, people in the country and beyond are celebrating a Brazilian immigrant who intervened to end the assault. Yeah. Caio Benicio is a Rio de Janeiro native who lives in the Irish capital, witnessed a stabbing while passing by on his moped making deliveries. He slowed down when he saw what appeared to be a fight, but then turned out to be a man stabbing a small girl while a woman tried to pull her away from the attacker. It was everything by instinct. I remember I took off my helmet to protect myself and use it as a weapon, just hit him in the head with all the power I have, and he fell down. Were it not for this immigrant, God knows what would have happened. And people are celebrating him throughout the country. To their great credit, fundraising campaigns for the kids, and people saying things like, thank you so much, Chow. You took off your helmet to help while others covered up their faces and wore hats later to terrorize. You are a true hero. I am so happy you came to live in Ireland. Every time you speak out against immigrants and migrants and refugees, think of what you might be speaking out against. Think of the great people that you're condemning. And categorizing in a particular way. Don't just focus on the worst of the worst, because we have plenty of those born and bred in our native countries. So Ireland was both an embarrassment and also an inspiration within a couple of days.
That's harrowing. I didn't know that side of the story. Yeah. I just heard the... I saw the double-decker bus that was basically burned to the ground and just all of the crowd control and kettling and, typical riot stuff. Mm-hmm. But, geez, that's incredible and a good aspect of that. And I hope everybody recovers and stays safe out there.
Yeah. There's always another side to a story. There's always more. If you simply look into it a little bit. So, that's something.
That's why journalism's important, and reporters, and places that broadcast those things, like this very station, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Oh, we have somebody else? Okay.
If there's no WUSB, there's no concert billboard. No place to hear the best of our local performers with live shows, concerts, and studio recordings. So give to WUSB. At 631-632-6901. Thank you.
That's right, 631-632-6901 or WUSB.FM. That is our website, and you can donate directly on there. And that's probably the quickest and easiest way to do it. We take credit cards, and we offer all kinds of awesome premiums as a result. Hey, I just want to say a few brief words about... somebody on the island who is really, oh my God, this guy, Bruce Blakeman, the Nassau County executive. I saw a tweet earlier that I could not remain silent about. Basically he said, he's attacking the Hofstra University president. Now consider, Hofstra University is currently suing to prevent his awful idea of a casino from opening, taking over Nassau Coliseum, and basically destroying Nassau County, turning it into a gambling den and not taking people's residences into account. And he basically tweeted today, "It's unfortunate that I must join the voices of those calling for the resignation of Hofstra University President Susan Poser. It is disgraceful that in this critical moment, President Poser could have stood against evil, but instead chose to punt and equivocate." And this is a retweet. He's basically tweeting on top of a Fox News story that said, "New York official demands resignation of college president who claimed complex history after Hamas terror attack." Okay, I guess what, claiming complex history, that's a crime now. Here's the thing. He's saying, "It's unfortunate I must join the voices of those calling." The story he quotes says, "New York official demands resignation." It's him. He's joining his own voice. He's saying, "Yeah, I agree with this." He's the person that said it. This is the kind of person you have leading Nassau County. It's one thing after another with this guy. But this is really, really disgusting. And I just, you know, felt it needed to be said. I want to read what the Hofstra University president said. "That event, Israel's response, the ongoing conflict of taking the lives of thousands of people with no end in sight. We mourn the loss of life in Israel and Gaza, which is deeply affecting many members of our community. There is a complex history and conflicting views about the causal underpinnings of the current crisis. This is one of the reasons that lasting peace in that part of the world has been so elusive and contested. But what is not contested is the tragic loss of innocent Israelis, Palestinians, and many others." My God, that is perfect. There is nothing wrong with that statement. And yet Bruce Blakeman is jumping on her, saying, "You must resign because you're a Hamas sympathizer," based on this comment. We are going into some very dark days if people are condemned for trying to be rational. And that's where we have to leave it.
That's why accountability and taking responsibility for your lies when people hold you to it is so important. I mean, you can't get away with that stuff, because if you do, people will just do it wholesale, and then whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter.
OTW@2600.com is our web email address. Let's go out with a song from somebody who is trying to, a late artist who is being overshadowed by Bruce Blakeman in the Harry Chapin Arena, where Bruce Blakeman wants his name to be bigger than that of Harry Chapin. And you can't get bigger than Harry Chapin. That will always be true. Good night, everyone.
Until next time.
All I got is time. Nothing else is mine. All I want is you. And one more tomorrow. Nothing lasts too long. When I leave, it's gone. So I send my mind ahead and hope to follow. Yes, I know I have a lifetime coming, but I've got it all figured out. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's lonely. That's what it's all about. I've had my share of heartaches, misfortune and mistakes. Occasionally this life has left me battered. But I can't blame no one else, 'cause what I've done myself is the only kind of history that matters. Yes, I know I have a lifetime coming, but I've got it all figured out. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's lonely. That's what it's all about. stay. And maybe you'll just watch a while, then wander. It seems like all the good things in my life just drift away. But maybe you will stay this time. I wonder. Yes, I know I have a lifetime coming, but I've got it all figured out. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's lonely. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.